said upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively. Hey, we're back on Downtown 432. On a Wednesday afternoon, Rich Kimball, Bruce Pratt, and it is time for Sports Lit 101. The four-letter network ESPN certainly being turned upside down these days. All kinds of changes there and more to come in the future. And to talk about that, we're joined by the author of the book ESPN, The Making of a Sports Media Empire, Travis Vogan. Thank you so much for being back with us here on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been interesting times of late for ESPN. And let's start with the departure of longtime boss John Skipper, what that means, and whether we know the real reason for his departure yet.
Well, I mean, John Skipper was instrumental in instituting a whole bunch of things that ESPN has been celebrated for. For instance, the push toward documentary, and especially just this last couple of years with the OJ Made in America, the multi-platform kind of move, going beyond television into a bunch of different types of platforms, whether it's print or radio, etc. And then also just doing things that kind of try to get ESPN out in front of new types of eyes, right? And maybe mostly trying to confront the challenges that the internet and online media pose, and that sort of, elephant in the room of sports television, which is cord cutting.
Yeah, now they've had a lot of layoffs, another round recently, primarily of behind the scenes people, but they've also brought in a few high profile names as well. And this is not, it's not abandoned ship as much as it is part of that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, the whole sports media industry right now is in a sort of transition, and ESPN is both trying to adjust and do what it can to stay ahead of that curve that's been approaching maybe a little bit more rapidly than it had expected. And so there are things like the layoffs that are happening, the push toward more kind of social media, and just trying to kind of tighten the belt in certain areas while investing resources in areas that it thinks is going to help it to grow. And yeah. Skipper was pretty instrumental in all of those kinds of things, even though he left under somewhat mysterious circumstances.
And it seemed odd to me that he left not long after Ryan Russillo decided he wasn't going to re-up, and he'd had his sort of big bad moment out in Wyoming not long before that.
Right.
Do you think that Russillo left on his own, or do you think that that ESPN's starting to let people go and not always telling us why?
Well, suggesting that what happened was other than what ESPN said would be speculation, because there isn't much in the way of evidence to support it. A lot of people, and I think reasonably, wonder whether there might be something else going on with these departures, whether, for instance, they're just kind of trying to get out in front of something, potentially a damning story, et cetera. And with all the stuff that's been going on in the news lately with some sort of high-profile executives very abruptly leaving their organizations, I think those speculations are understandable. But I also think, we should be really careful with making some of those assumptions, because we just don't have the information or the evidence to back them up. So, I mean, my course of action or my sort of perspective on it is to, give ESPN the benefit of the doubt and to a certain extent, while still, wondering if there might be more evidence out there, more information out there. But I have no reason to believe, based on what I've read and what I've heard, that the issue with Skipper was anything other than what ESPN is saying.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is if you could briefly sort of remind people about one of the people who just recently passed on, who was very important in the initial push to get ESPN funded up and running, Stuart Eavy. And do you think we've come to a point where the institutional memory of ESPN has forgotten all that?
Yeah, maybe to a certain extent. I mean, Stuart Eavy is a pretty interesting figure in a lot of ways. First of all, he was running or helping to run Getty Oil's Division of Diversified Operations, which planted the seed money or invested the seed money that got ESPN off the ground. This was before ESPN had even launched. The Getty was the principal investor. And Stuart Eavy was kind of instrumental in getting that money, which started out as a, you know, a lump sum and then grew based on ESPN's needs. And so Eavy wound up kind of departing shortly after ESPN launched, but without his kind of advocacy for what at the time was called the Entertainment Sports Programming Network, it wouldn't have happened. Also, another thing that's kind of interesting is that Eavy in his book talks a lot about battling with substance abuse and alcoholism, and I think there's some interesting parallels between Evie's story and what we've been hearing about John Skipper that folks haven't really mentioned. But, you know, those kinds of things or those kinds of issues seem to kind of run throughout the history of ESPN, the history of entertainment industry more generally. But Evie's a really important figure in that discussion. And I don't think he's really gotten the credit that he deserves. Most people kind of attribute ESPN's development to Bill Rasmussen. But without Eavy, Rasmussen, would have just been kind of a quirky entrepreneur, and none of that would have ever gotten off the ground.
We're talking with Travis Vogan here on Downtown Sports Lit 101. One of John Skipper's last acts as boss at ESPN was the debacle involving their brief association with Barstool Sports. Clearly, they were trying to reach a different demographic, but as others have said, they knew who they were getting into bed with this before it all began to fall apart. Was that primarily because of the response of some of the female ESPN employees?
Yeah, I think that was really a wrong-headed decision to make. I think they decided or they guessed that the new audience that they might secure, mainly a younger male audience, and the new eyeballs that they might attract through that association, the clicks, et cetera, would outweigh the kind of negative aspects of associating with an outlet that does kind of trade on sexism and, you know, being pretty disrespectful toward women, namely a lot of ESPN female anchors and commentators, you know, who are oftentimes targets for Barstool Sports brand of kind of macho and sort of sexist sports commentary a lot of times. Some of the stuff Barstool Sports does is interesting and useful and all that kind of stuff. But they kind of, their reputation is sort of based on that kind of frat boy brand of humor. And ESPN, you know, in this effort to kind of survive this transition in sports media, decided that it was going to risk that. And it wound up being a pretty bad decision, and they really had to walk that back, and you know, wound up looking pretty foolish and looking pretty hypocritical based on some of the things that they often pay lip service to in terms of gender equality and whatnot.
Well, what isn't hypocritical or bad is a wonderful book in which you have an article that I talked about just the other week, Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles, the Most Iconic Moments in American Sports, which is came out from University of Illinois Press. What I wanted to say to you is it is remarkable how much in that little 8 or 9 page essay you are able to do in terms of synopsizing things about ESPN. We've told people on the show, if you're not someone who reads long books, buy this book and read each of these articles, and you'll be 23 times smarter than you were before. It's a really good book. How did Steve Geitsire contact you, or was it an open call, or?
We kind of know each other through an organization called the North American Society for Sport History.
Oh, NASP people, that's what I figured.
And most of the folks in that book are somehow affiliated with that organization, you know, in one way or another. And so Steve, the editor of the book, kind of recruited us based on our different or our respective areas of interest and put together a nice collection, yeah.
Yeah, there were so many of my SLA buddies in here and people we've had on the show that this book was like we're going to be getting a lot of mileage out of this. Hope we're going to talk to Dennis Gilday next weekend, next week,
great.
Rather,
yeah.
So that'd be good.
That's great.
Well, Travis, we always enjoy having you on the show. Thanks, as always, for making time with us this afternoon. We look forward to doing it again down the road.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
That is Travis Vogan. He's the author of ESPN, The Making of a Sports Media Empire, here on Sports Lit 101.